Our scripture reading will come from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 46 to the end of the chapter. It's a self-contained story of one of the miracles of Jesus, healing a blind beggar. Hear the word of the Lord. And they came to Jericho, that is, Jesus and his disciples, came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. The word of the Lord. Join me in a moment of prayer, if you would. Father, we see in the Gospels this morning yet another story of how your Son, Jesus Christ, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. How he came to be a ransom for many. How he came to seek and to save those that are lost. Lord, help us to see. Open our eyes as you did this blind man, that we may see in there the Christ, your Son, our Savior, our only hope. I pray, Father, for each person here listening to this message this morning, that you may work a work within their souls, that the one that is most needy in this small crowd this morning will cry out to you, receive your undivided attention, and get from your hand that miracle of sight and of light and of life in Jesus Christ. Amen. We're looking at the miracles of Jesus this fall, and we've seen several of them already. The story this morning is about Jesus healing a blind man, a man who happened to have a name. Almost none of the people that the Gospels tell us that Jesus healed or ministered to in some way or another have a particular proper name. This particular man has a name. His name is Bar, which means in Aramaic, the son of Bar Timaeus. Timaeus means filthiness, vileness, uncleanness. He was the son of filthiness. He was a blind beggar. That's a double whammy. The Old Testament covenant that God made with his people told them over and over that if they would obey his commands, if they would follow his will revealed at Sinai, if they would walk in his statutes, that they would have prosperity, that the vats would be overflowing, that the warehouses would be bursting at the seams, that they would live in houses that they did not build, and they would enjoy the prosperity of the land. But if they disobeyed, broke the covenant, violated the commandments, they would be brought to an abject poverty, an unbelievable impoverishment of not only their wealth, but also their spirit and their soul. God also promised in the giving of the covenant in Deuteronomy 28, 28, that if they violated the covenant that he had given them, if they did not obey, if they did not do what God had commanded them to do and walk in his statutes and keep his commandments and faithfully love the Lord their God with all their hearts, the Lord says, I will strike you with blindness. You will grope in darkness at midday. So poverty and blindness were curses of the covenant, disobedience. What we have in Bartimaeus is a man who symbolizes the one who breaks the covenant, the one who does not keep the covenant of God, the one who is a sinner, the one who walks in iniquity, the one who disobeys the voice of God. Bartimaeus symbolized this abject curse and rejection by God. This was pretty sound doctrine in that day. This is what they understood it to believe, so much so that on another occasion when Jesus came to be confronted by a blind man, as recorded in the Gospel of John, the first question the disciples asked, who sinned, this man or his parents? Is he the sinner that receives this curse of blindness? Or was it his parents? Was it generational? Was it the sins of the fathers being visited to the sons and the grandsons? Which is it? It's obviously the curse of God. In that instant, Jesus said, neither one. This man was born blind so that the works and the power of God might be manifested in him. Bartimaeus was not born blind. In fact, the very word that he used in answering Jesus' question, when Jesus said, what would you have me do for you? His answer was one word, just one word in the Greek, anablepso, anablepso, that I may see again. Blindness had come upon him during his lifetime. Now, as with many stories in the Gospel of Mark, the scene is set quite tersely and quite dramatically. We have in this particular scene a crowd scene, really. Jesus is transversing through Jericho, and the scholars talk about he entered Jericho, he left Jericho, and basically there's basically two towns of Jericho kind of together. There's an old Jericho, which was built upon the ruins of the city that had fallen down in Joshua's day when the walls came a-tumbling down. Jericho, same town. In fact, there was a curse placed upon anyone that would rebuild Jericho. And sure enough, somebody had the audacity to try to rebuild old Jericho. And a curse fell on them, and they never really prospered. But right next to it, as so often is the case, there was a thriving area that was a suburb that became Jericho. So we see Jesus entering Jericho and leaving Jericho and entering Jericho and leaving Jericho, coming back through Jericho, and then finally on his way to Jerusalem. In the story, we know the story of Zacchaeus. This was something that would happen, another personal confrontation with Jesus by an individual in Jericho in this same journey, in this same trip, in the same visit to Jericho by Jesus and his disciples. Jesus had been teaching and preaching along the way, and a great crowd had gathered. In fact, this crowd is the precursor of the crowd that will begin to gather and begin to increase as Jesus makes his way to Jerusalem. And this crowd will reach its apex on Palm Sunday, when Jesus will walk into the environs of Jerusalem and mount on that lowly animal and be carried by the adulation of the people. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. This is the crowd that's going to attribute to Jesus royalty. And it begins from the lips of this blind beggar. He's the first one and the only one up until this point that calls Jesus by his name, Son of David. If Bartimaeus is the son of defilement, the Son of David is a description first applied to Solomon in all of his splendor and all of his glory. If there ever was a representation in the Old Testament of a man who enjoyed the prosperity and the wealth, not only did Solomon have physical eyesight, but he had incredible spiritual eyesight as a man of insight and wisdom. We could not have two representatives that are more polar opposites that represent the covenant than the son of defilement, the curse, and the son of David, Solomon, the great King Solomon. And that's what you see here as these men encounter one another. Now, the dynamics of the story is this great crowd gathers and they're moving along at a pretty good pace. And the other Gospels, the other Synoptic Gospels, Matthew and Luke, give us more detail about the story. And it says that Bartimaeus asked what was the commotion. He couldn't see, so he had to ask. And he was told that this was Jesus of Nazareth passing by. And as this great throng moved along, they no doubt passed by the station that Bartimaeus had staked out for himself as a place to collect the alms. The beggars in the ancient world really would go to bridges or to gates or to dominant plazas and marketplaces where they could have the maximum effect of being able to have people hear them in their cry for alms and their cry for mercy and money to be given them. It was really all they had. And he had situated himself along this very broad avenue leading from the city. And as the throng passed along, he heard the commotion and he inquired who it was. And when they said, Jesus of Nazareth, it's interesting to me that Jesus' fame had gone throughout the land. This was toward the very end of Jesus' ministry, of course. And they knew him all the way from Nazareth through Samaria, Decapolis, Judea, all of those regions of ancient Palestine had heard of Jesus, and each had been a beneficiary of the miracles and the ministry, the preaching and the teaching and the healing of Jesus. And Bartimaeus had heard about Jesus, knew who he was, and he cried out to him. The interesting thing about his cry is that it was an obnoxious cry that sort of pitched itself not only in volume but in tone and timbre above the din of the multitude so that his cry was heard. In fact, his cry was heard by everyone. And the people along the front of the parade route who were like he watching them go by said, be quiet. Bartimaeus, hush. When they exhorted him and rebuked him, as one account says, he cried the louder. If his cry was obnoxious to start with, I have a feeling that it reached a pitch of desperation at this point. As he sensed that Jesus had passed him by, as the people had told him to be quiet, he had one last desperate chance to summon the Savior and get his attention. And the shriek and the shrill of his cry caught the ear of Christ. There's a book written a few years ago called The Power of Crying Out. The Power of Crying Out. It was written by, I think, Bill Gothard. You need to get that little book. You need to find it in your bookstore somewhere and just read it. What he does, he goes through the whole Old Testament, principally, and takes all of the Hebrew words for what it means to call upon the Lord, to cry out, to plead, to pray. And you would be surprised, as a Presbyterian, you would be very surprised to know what is involved in calling upon the name of the Lord. And the promise is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's interesting that when you see some of the other stories of Jesus healing, It's always friends and loved ones who bring the afflicted person to Christ. In fact, even in Bethsaida, when Jesus heals a blind man there, very similar to this story here, it was his friends who brought him to Jesus. He had the support of his family. But poor Bartimaeus, the son of defilement and filthiness, he had no one to bring him to Jesus, no one to recommend him, no one to commend him, no one to bring him to Christ. And all he had was his own desperate condition. He truly represented one of those that Jesus had spoken of at the beginning of his ministry as those who are poor in spirit. He cried out of his own poverty. He had no one to bring him to Christ. In fact, it's worse than that. Everybody that was around him that knew him was telling him to be quiet, to hush, to be silent. All of his circumstances and his environment was turned against the prospect of him calling out to Christ. He had been advised against it. The seeds of skepticism and doubt had come in over his heart. But he would not be deterred. I'm telling you, crying out to Christ for salvation sometimes requires that you cry out through the din and the darkness of your doubt and your skepticism. When there's an urge not to cry out, that's the time to call upon the name of the Lord. For the promise is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus, he used the term Son of David. And what this represented was the recognition of Jesus' divine office, that he was the divine Son of David. As Jesus would dialogue in the temple with the elders, Jesus is both David's Lord in his deity and David's Son in his humanity. Jesus is the Messiah, the royal Son of David, the one who has been anointed to sit upon the eternal throne of David. And Jesus himself had tried to get this point across earlier as he had preached in Nazareth, there in the synagogue, when he read from the scroll of Isaiah, Isaiah 61, when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Jesus said, "because he has anointed me to preach the gospel." The receiving of sight by the blind. If there's one point of the gospel that Bartimaeus grasped, it was that Jesus had come to give him sight. It's interesting that when Jesus then called him and summoned him and told the people to get him, the people then became encouragers. Isn't it something how fast the crowd will turn on you? One minute they're saying, "Be quiet." And the next minute they're saying, "Cheer up, arise, he's calling you, come to the front, come see him." The crowd will turn just like that. This same crowd, not very many days after this, is going to be saying, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And 5 days later are going to be saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." I'm telling you, any one of you, but especially young people, if you're following the voice of the crowd, you're probably going to be misled. The greatest influence upon the life of young people, we're told today, is peer pressure. Peer pressure. That's what the crowd, your friends, those around you, the culture that you're enmeshed, that particular group is likely to mislead you. Because in our day and time, it's going in a wrong direction. It's going in the direction of the defilement. It's walking in the darkness at midday, not understanding the gospel of Jesus Christ. When the crowd tells Bartimaeus to come to Jesus, he receives Jesus' undivided attention. And it's interesting to me that Jesus asked him, "What will you have me do for you?" You would think that Jesus would not know what a blind man's request was going to be. But let me point out to you that he'd been saying, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord." And those terms for mercy was used often just asking for money. It could be that all Bartimaeus was looking for was another handout from someone that he thought might be merciful and compassionate. And the text said that Jesus was compassionate. His very bowels, his very viscera was stirred with compassion for this man. And that should have reached his pocketbook and purse. And perhaps that's maybe all Bartimaeus was looking for. That's all most any beggar was looking for, was a good handout. So Jesus asked him, "Well, if I had time, I'd talk about how this was exactly the same question that Jesus asked James and John when they came asking their question. Jesus looked at them and gave them undivided attention apart from the other ten. And he said, 'What do you want me to do for you?'" Same question in the immediate passage just before this story of Bartimaeus. And remember what their question was? "Lord, that one of us may sit on your right and one of us will be on your left, that we'll be your two prime ministers whenever you enter into your kingdom." And that's when Jesus had to say, "It's not like that in the kingdom of God. The Son of Man has come to serve and to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." So when Jesus asked Bartimaeus the question, he was waiting for his answer. And his Bartimaeus answer was one word: "That I may see." One word in the Greek: "That I may see again." Let me stop right here and just urge you that that may be what your prayer should be this morning. That the Lord will enable you to see again. You've become blinded by the affairs of this world. You've become blinded by the cares. You've become blinded by riches, as was the case of the rich young ruler. The Bible says that the Satan is the god of this world, and he has blinded the eyes of those that see not the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And if our gospel is hid, it is hid to those who are blind. And that's what we need to ask of the Lord, the same as Bartimaeus: "Lord, that we may see again, that we may open our eyes." Let me say one more thing and I'm done. In coming to Jesus, Bartimaeus, the scripture says, and it's incredible how brief these accounts are, but the detail we get, it says he abandoned his cloak. He abandoned his cloak. The cloak was the outer garment that everyone wore over a tunic. And it's very symbolic in the Bible, the cloak. The cloak of a beggar was tattered and filthy and unwashed and probably cheap to start with. And it was filled with odors. And it was the filthy garments of the son of defilement. But when he left his garments behind and he came to Jesus, the Lord said, "Thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith has saved thee." And he received the garment of righteousness, because the Bible tells us that the righteous receive their life by faith.